Okay, once again, Mark Stanton Welch here. This is Tools for the Times. We're in Block 3, and that would put us at Session 1, which is actually the 15th session that we've had in this fairly pretty remarkable journey that we've been taking together. Excited. It's like the first day of school here. I'm looking at the page I created for you guys that you'll get in the morning or sometimes by the end of the day tomorrow, hopefully earlier, that has a bit of a new color scheme. We're pretty much following along as things were, but it has a different look to delineate it from the other two blocks. Very excited about that process. And as many of you know, I sent out a note about the form of the classes because there was some concern from at least one other person, and then concerned about from myself about just the amount of work going into it, not that it wasn't warranted, just the time that it took to put it together. I was looking for some kind of an adjustment. So I polled everyone, and I reached an understanding and a decision that we're going to work with for the time being, and we'll see how that works. The one thing that seems to be missing, have been missing from the past, is the opportunity to put into action practically the information that we had received to begin to see how it plays itself out and how we could use our collective energy to go ahead and amplify the experiences that we were having. And in the past, I just put a section in there where you could choose to actually put some things in motion by your own choices. I don't know whether any of you did. I don't know how much you did. But I do know, again, and let me say this as I'm putting this little energy out here, is that, again, the form of the work that we're doing here is more about delivering information that will sidetrack the mind so that the energy underneath the information and the intention will actually begin to reach your cells and reach your viscera so that it opens and activates the elements of remembering inside of you. This information is a key. It is a trigger to allow you to then take the information and apply it to the forms of your own life and your own personal vibration to then impact the world, your personal world as well as larger world, in ways that you are guided to do and you see fit. So, yes, there's a lot of information. And with that in mind, we were thinking about altering the form of it, and here's what I came up with. We're going to do the same thing, except as far as information goes, tonight's call will be an hour and a half long. It will be chock full of information. You will receive the recording and the link to the site tomorrow, so that you can look and work with the information as your time allows you. Next Tuesday, we will stay with the topic, and we will just have a whole session from 1 hour to an hour and a half at the most, putting this stuff into action through the use of guided visualization, sound work, song, chant, mantra, specific activities, written as well as mental, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to pull my old teacher self out to create a nice arrangement of activities that will allow us to integrate the material. And I'm excited to see how this is going to work and see how it impacts you. So please feel free to give me feedback on the way that things are going. And the several people that were invested in having it go every other week, I love you and bless you and feel your pain. Because, you know, I was thinking, wow, that'd be nice to have that time. But you know what? The information to me is way too important, and the flow that we've already established is way too important to completely interrupt it now. What we're doing is beginning to just add elements to it. So here we are in the new shape. We'll be doing an hour and a half tonight in terms of the information. If it ends earlier, then there'll be some time for questions or comments, or we'll just get off the phone. But the recording isn't going right now, and we are in place to go ahead and receive information. So I invite you right now just to become aware of yourself in your chair. Become aware of your feet on the floor, if indeed they are. And if not, you can either put them there or visualize yourself connected to the earth in some form. I would like you to go ahead and visualize on one hand two roots heading down from your souls directly into the earth and directly into the earth's core. And also just follow the line of your spine straight down and out as if it too was a root. And it is the third root that begins to move down into the earth, running parallel to the two from your feet. And in this connection, you tap into the earth's core and you are solid on the earth. And you not only are solid on the earth to be fully in your body, but you now open up to the wisdom that will come uniquely to you through the course of the call and beyond that really is available. And so the part of the course that we're doing now is to consciously call upon these elements that we're putting into place. By you grounding yourself, you return to your fullness. You allow yourself to be open. You allow yourself to have all the energy needed to move through the delivery of the information as a receptor, and also making sure that anything that could be in the way of you taking in the information is cleansed and cleared as directed by your own higher self. So all of this is in motion. I invite us all on the count of three to speak our first and middle and last name, our original birth name, to go ahead and sit in our power and to call forth all the vibrations necessary to support us in being open and receptive during this time. So one, two, three, Mark Stanton Welch, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. We're going to start off very much like we did last week, because what we're doing is opening up our connection. Actually, it was a week and it was 2 weeks ago. We're going to start off with a chant. It's a chant called Calling, and it is opening up our connection with the ancestors and all of life to be available and supportive. Calling in the spirits of the earth, give me strength and give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors, give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, bring me wisdom and show the way. I am ready, I am ready. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors, give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, knowledge, show the way. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready. Excuse me on that. Times when we call these things in, a whole lot of debris moves. And because I'm in the process of supporting and facilitating this, it is typical that some of the energy comes my way. So thank you so much. And give me a moment just to process and clear it and release it and take a little precious substance here. By chanting and inviting, we are celebrating and acknowledging our consciousness and our willingness to open up and expand to all that is available to us, which has really been the point of the course, is to realize that we are owed so much more than we have allowed, to reclaim and to reawaken those elements within us that have been dormant for perhaps, well, not even perhaps, for way too long. In these times of ever-awakening power, we are beginning to taste and to experience on deeper levels just how profoundly powerful we are. And this is not a kind of power that overwhelms, that controls. It is a power that allows us to expand and open to the magnificence of this particular dimension, as well as all the multidimensional frequencies that are in companion with what we're doing here. My hope is that through the work you are beginning to experience a different frequency of life, of how it's showing up for you in different ways, of how it is supporting you in different ways, of how certain things that mattered not long ago don't seem to have such a charge anymore, how you find that you're able to actually be fully present for something even in the midst of energy that's moving through you. Because some of the tenets of what we're holding on to and we become aware of as a result of the work is that we realize that everything is in flow. Everything is in the process of change as a vibration. Emotion is a rich source of our being that is one of the primary reasons for being in this dimension. And it is such a fluid and powerful element of us that we know and trust that it moves from the entrance, expresses itself, and then moves on at varying rates. So we are never in a place where we are overwhelmed and swallowed by emotion, provided we keep the reservoirs clear and clean. So I'm just doing a very, very quick review. And just a reminder, if you haven't star sixed, that's where you press star and six to mute your phone. Please do so. I'm hearing a few little sounds in there that once we start doing some of the, there's a couple things in here involving the voice. We just want to make sure that the recording is able to be completely the way it's supposed to be. Okay. Tonight, creating conscious relationship with Gaia. In the last two sessions, we've gone through DNA, we've looked at the Akash, we've seen the opening of the 12 strands of the DNA, pretty much through the eyes of the channeled work of an entity called Kryon. Kryon's been around since 87, 89, and he has been a companion for many through this entire 25-year and beyond cycle that led to the 2012 entrance and the awakening of the age of Aquarius, which has brought about energetic shifts unprecedented in the history of humanity. So it's very, very exciting to use that awareness of the DNA, to use what we know about the Akash being the record system. And then we found out how the Akash is the element that is kept in loving hold and fluid hold by the very earth itself, herself. And we realized in these times the embracing of the Mother Earth energy named Gaia, as established in the 1960s by our fellow named Dr. James Lovelock. What a perfect name to reveal this deep element of us. And it's to that tonight that we're paying homage to realize that the interconnectedness of all things will give us the foundation that really begins to allow us to open up without hesitation to the sessions that are on their way. So let me start with an introduction here. It says, oh, we don't need much to live and be happy in the world. It seems the less we have, the more we breathe the beauty of the world. Walk lightly on the earth. Patumba, patumba, paweo, simple. Simple living makes the world go round. The people live in peace. Simple living. Simple living will be looked at a little bit later, but it was a perfect introduction to realizing that we do have relationship with Gaia. And here's what it says to begin. There is a confluence of rivers happening today, a flow from distinct tributaries of belief and reality that are flowing into one another to blend into a reawakening of now wisdom. One tributary is the learned neglect and self-serving arrogance of the civilized world that places itself at the top of the food chain with carte blanche to do whatever it takes to succeed, no matter the expense. Another tributary is hundreds of thousands of years of visceral, non-recorded history of humans living in harmony with their home, living simply to allow a deep, fulfilling, and sustaining celebration of life. I'm referring to the indigenous peoples. And the third of the confluences, the river, the flow, is the recognition of the living planet Gaia, who oscillates in profound symbiotic relationship with her human living family. The growing confluence is the flood of the second two washing over and through the first to cleanse the litany of blind abuse and bring about a healing and return to the loving tribal relationship of all life, including the Earth Mother. To understand these times, one must fall in love with the earth again. And so we begin. We know from whence we've come. There is information in the past that is revealed to us as we move through this powerful moment to influence the way our future is showing up for us individually and collectively. We will look at some of those things tonight. Years ago, in 1990, as a matter of fact, with Erin, my precious wife at that time, and I created a CD called Pure Love. We were well-versed in the Earth Day celebrations that had happened and begun and moved through the 80s, and we were very visible in that scene, at least in the central coast of California. I wrote a lot of music to support the events, and I would take the theme every year and turn it into song that we would then present at some of the ceremonies. It was a beautiful thing. And the impetus and the energy sort of faded away with time. Maybe it was because we got a divorce, but maybe it was really just because of the shifting energies which were happening all over the planet. There's a song on the recording of Pure Love that is called Gaia. And you can listen to it, at least a bit of it, when you access some of the songs to support the week's session at the bottom left. But here are the words. It goes, round and round through boundless time, I have spun through space. With love I shine so brightly. Some have called me Earth, but you can call me Gaia. With water, air, and soil too, I have been the perfect home to all you creatures. Some have called me Earth, but you can call me Gaia. I let you walk upon my skin. I let you drill your holes deep within me. Gave you everything that you ever dreamed of. I let you sail upon my waters. Helped you raise your sons and your daughters. And all I ever wanted was your love. So think of me as being alive when I am hurt, just like you I cry. Some have called me Earth, but you can call me Gaia. And she says, love me, do not abuse me, and I will be here endlessly. Oh, love me, do not abuse me, and I will be here endlessly for you. So in those fledgling days of this 25-year cycle of awakening that has been happening and that was happening at that point, this was the guidance I received, knowing very little about what it was all about. But as it has evolved and as we look at it tonight, it takes this very foundation of the connection and an Earth who loves us so much that essentially she will give her life for us. And to see how the relationship that truly is there is something that is so profound that it can cure whatever ails you in a flash. To turn our back on the very home that has sustained us is an act of foolishness. And yet for thousands of years, many have done that. Through many incarnations, I know that I've been an ass. I know that I've been an abuser. I know that I just start to cry from that. And this is the gift. It's the tenderness to know our own history, to know from whence we've come and how many incarnations we've had that have influenced our vibration. And yet through it all, there's a precious essence of us that has transcended it all and has brought us to a very, very, very critical juncture, one that we are moving mightily through. And yes, these calls are a part of it, and these calls are setting an energy forth that is influencing in ways that we have no idea about. And yet each of us remains true in our own way to showing up and listening and putting the information into action in whatever way we can. Whew. So I start with a title here, A Profound and Life-Sustaining Relationship. And here's the information that I put in it. The first mention of planet Earth as living, a living being, Gaia, came in the 60s with the theory put forth by Dr. James Lovelock that proposed that Earth was composed of complex, self-regulating, and interactive systems that acted in concert as a single organism to optimize conditions for life. Earth was alive, not just an inert mass to sustain people. That was so potent in those times, and it was so heartfelt. It was so heartfelt. And I remember one Earth Day. The theme that year was One Earth, No Spare. And it was so evocative. I mean, it really came down to that, you know, if we blow it, and in those days we'd be perceiving that humanity was destroying the Earth. I have new information on that a little bit later. But when I wrote the song about One Earth, No Spare, it was such a tender song that even to this day when I sing it, on the few occasions that I actually pull it out, it brings me to tears. Because underneath it all, there was this energy that was flowing from the Earth that I did not have access to in the early days, and probably none of us did. But it is such a sweet and powerful and loving energy that is far beyond anything I could have provided for myself, especially in those days. And we move on. As time went on and the theory evolved into experience that revealed the long-standing relationship that the indigenous peoples had always had with the Earth Mother. They saw a profound interconnected relationship between Earth and human, so that whatever befalls the Earth, so too befalls humans. Dr. Cynthia Andrews, in a book called The Path of Energy, carries it even further. She says, it is a call to holographic awareness, to acknowledge that each person's individual transmission is reflected in the whole. Every thought, every behavior, every action of each person creates the fabric of the Earth's consciousness, the vibration of our collective frequency. Do you realize, on one hand, this could be an incredible burden to carry. On the other hand, it could be the thing that wakes us up to conscious relationship that changes everything. It depends on how we choose to take that. And again, Dr. Andrews says, the Earth essentially has the same energy structures as humans. It has an aura, chakras as vortices, sacred sites and power spots, and meridians that are called ley lines. The structures serve to transmit information from the larger universe through the Earth to all the individual life forms. That's you and me, the mosquitoes, the butterflies, the rocks, everything. The structures serve to transmit information from the larger universe through the Earth to all the individual life forms. The Earth receives energy transmissions from the planetary bodies, the spiritual dimensions, and the galactic center. The Earth's aura transmits the collective frequency of the planet out into the universe, providing information about the inhabitants of this planet. Humans are part of a conscious feedback system to the universe, helping direct the evolution of the whole. Did you realize that you were so important? Did you realize the frequency of your choices and the moments that you live out and how you respond to those moments was infiltrating and infusing the actual vibration of the planet to then be transmitted outward? Like a news report to the cosmos, it says, here's where we are, here's our state of the moment, here's what's happening. Under no circumstance can we underestimate the power that each of us have to influence the magnificent, mighty whole. That's W-H-O-L-E. Humans and Gaia are in partnership, I continue here. It is profound. For a host of reasons that now are not worth exploring anymore, humans have been taught to be alone and fear-filled, hesitant to respond to deep inner echoes of power, but unwilling to step out of the confines of belief and programmed ignorance to change the forms of their personal life. Feeling powerless is a learned behavior. Separation is the primary tool of ignorance. Being separate from life and on one's own diminishes imagination, inspiration, intention, and any willingness to act upon making it different. Couple that with the widespread misunderstanding of the divine nature of things, and you see a great deal of treading water in a self-imposed prison, which we call the comfort zone. Bum, 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 bum. Do, 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 do. The comfort zone. We've talked about it before, and it shows itself again. The vehicle that keeps us treading water. One has to be taught to fear. Just as one can learn to find courage and willingness that have been ignited by the information that launches the inner knowing, civilization is about fear, ignorance, and dependency. Most have learned it well and have been diverted in such a way that they don't even have a problem with it much of the time. Ignorance is a form of bliss, but being unaware is really not part of our design. Besides, the energies of these times infusing the planet are making sure that no one is left alone to their own devices. Reawakening is the call of the times, and you can do it in flow or resist while kicking and screaming. You choose. And I will say that moments deliver different responses. In the breath of a day, in the flow of the day, moments will call me to my power, and moments will confront me and cause me to doubt the very things that I'm doing and the very breath that I just had. And it all passes. Each of these shades, each of these hues, just shows itself and reveals its presence, and then it moves on down the highway. Move along, move along. There's nothing to see here. Move along. There is a profound process in motion here, inaugurated in the year 1987 with no real knowing of the outcome. This is important to know. The harmonic convergence that was really the first call of the Earth herself to create connection, conscious connection with the humans that peopled the planet. This was 1987, and it was a call to go and to align and to gather at the ley lines, the intersection points of the what we call the crystalline grid, and we sat there like unknowing puppets, wondering what the heck we were doing here. For those who recall, I went to Mount Shasta and stood on the mountain with a handful of people, 2,000 to be exact, but it sure looked like a handful on that mountain. And we began to show a commitment of connection to this magnificent planet who was really willing to die for us. I continue here. Information is laid into the collective consciousness and they react or respond. Some, especially the old souls and the new generations, were stirred and reminded of something deeper beyond the cloak of fear that had been the norm. This openness allowed the information as energy and awareness to infuse the inner being to release the personal, understanding, relationship, and application of the insights. As action was taken, the vibration shifted, one being at a time. A collective higher vibration began to be felt by those of higher vibration and those awakening. Each fed the other. Do you see? It was a sequence of steps. It was a sequence of decisions made, actions taken that directly influenced how the next moment was going to show up. It was the first semblances of seeing how the cosmos works and how we have the capacity to formulate our own experience by choice. God, I'm just so emotional in this. I don't even know how to put it into words. To have this stuff come out and be spoken in this way is very important and is very powerful. And so thank you for being receptive, and thank you for choosing to be on this. Each feeds the other. It's a profound act of nurturance that we are doing. And all that is our responsibility, and this is a side here, all that's our responsibility is to show up to the moment and take action. A feeble step forward is enough to change how things are showing up and thus shift the vibration. And the Earth, the beautiful Gaia energy, records that and puts it into the collective vibration that either begins to elevate us or keep us where we are. You and I are that powerful. Everyone is. For here is the way it works. Through the existence of the caves of creation and the crystalline grid and earth, there is an ongoing interface between planet and human. Any change in vibration is registered in the field and then initiates new information. The dance continues and is truly based on the receptivity of the individual humans and their willingness to trust and act in leaps of faith. Each feeds the other in a profound act of nurturance. The more open one becomes, the more information is revealed in a truly exponential dance. We are built to know what is in this dimension and beyond. The inner knowing is in seed pods or time capsules that respond to informational and energetic keys, which is what we are doing in these calls. Pay attention to life's moments and the nuances, and life reveals the bigger global and galactic picture. How much do you trust? How far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Those two questions determine what's going to show up for you, how you're going to be able to influence the moments of your own living, how you're going to be able to interface with those around you from all dimensions. How much do you trust? How far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? The rabbit hole leads us into the land of new awareness. Previously, it has been portrayed as a land of fear. It is no longer that. It is the land of celebration and revelation, if you are willing to cross the threshold, which each of you has shown your willingness to do by sitting in on this barrage of information. The now is deeply and cosmically profound. The quantum relationship between source and life is revealing itself in waves of energetic knowing. Remember, the more you say yes, the more the multiverse lays the truth within, upon, and around you. Take it and run with it. Live it, breathe it, speak it, be it, not because you're supposed to fix the rest of the world, but simply because it is time that you were given your personal keys to the kingdom. Things are no longer the way they seem or seemed. They are far beyond even the realms of science fiction. Our willingness to devote our focus and energies to self-care opens multiple, multidimensional doors to gift us with understanding and knowing that easily transcends into form. Do you hear the promise of that statement? At the very foundation of everything we do, and I've been promoting this for years as I finally learned that the value of it upon myself is the power of self-care. I couldn't even say it, self-care. To put our own needs, our own energetic and survival needs, sort of, in priority allows us, once again, to develop the frequency of wholeness within us so that we can show up as more powerful beings to our own moments of living. For whoever shows up in front of us, we are able to be present and not manipulative, not attempting to control or to suck them dry or to demand that they make everything okay for us. The failure of relationship with another is based upon our own unwillingness to not take care of ourselves. There is really no other way to say it. So we have suffered enough. Victimhood is a choice. The comfort zone has been unmasked. Who are you? Who are you willing to be in this moment? Why on earth would you even hesitate to jump into this galactic love-filled abyss of light and love? That's a good question. Those are all good questions. Gaia lives, and so do we, together. The reunion is at hand. All that is necessary is for you to take the step, the next step, in good faith, and then listen and pay attention and step again. Open hands, open mind, open heart. I live here on a planet, third one from the sun. All around the Milky Way I go. I just can't imagine living any place else. It's the best darn planet I know. I look at her every morning. I walk upon her every day. I had to take a moment, shout a little bit about her, and this is what I have to say. So let me say, I like the big green valleys, yes I do. I like the snow-capped mountains, yes I do. I like the mighty Russian River, yes I do. I like the deep, deep sea, yes I do. I must remember to take care of her. I must remember to give love to her. Let her know that I'll always be there and give sweet, sweet love, never-ending love. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go. A song called Yes, I Do from Pure Love. Okay, so let's move to the next section, which is, I think I'll do the lessons and wisdom of the indigenous. It says, somewhere along the sloppy journey towards civilization, we lost our collective way. What masqueraded as progress was a progressive mind-numbing to who we actually are and what kind of place we live on and in. So be it. It has been a descent into the relinquishment of truth for the sake of a snake oil sense of safety. Blinded by a sea of never-ending trinkets, we slowly but surely gave away our personal and collective power. Until now. We have reached the bottom of the barrel and are on a slow but surely increasing ascent into remembering and reawakening, and not a moment too soon. For forces were in motion that were leading us as a result of choices towards an Armageddon that wasn't crying wolf. That was leading us as a result of choices towards an Armageddon that wasn't crying wolf. And I say that because this is my seventh Armageddon that I've been through, and somehow I'm still here. And this has been averted really because of choices by people like you and me who impacted the human vibration enough to change the signals being sent to Gaia. Do you hear what I'm saying? Even the smallest of choices, the seemingly most insignificant choice to listen to your heart, to hold your words before you lash out at another, to whatever it's going to be, was enough to shift the collective vibration, to give Gaia another reason to hold a higher frequency. And it isn't so much that Gaia was waiting for us. I mean, it was you know, going to create a crazy thing for us. It was really just that she was just listening to what we were putting out. And the design says that that is the symbiotic relationship that results in the form of the next moment. But even more importantly, I said, there have been places where the true relationships were never misplaced, forgotten, turned away from, or ignored. And that is in the hearts and actions of the many indigenous peoples on Earth. The quote-unquote uncivilized ones, as history has so mockingly and falsely branded, the ones who have kept the knowing alive, are the ones who has kept the knowing alive. And despite the unwavering efforts of the civilized world to convince them of their false ways, diminish their cultural heritage, dis-ease them and kill them off, steal their ways and traditions and culture, force a false god upon them, they have simply persevered and held the light until the time for the great waking up, which began in 1987. And to this end, we must give thanks. The old ways are revealing themselves. In each continent, more are turning to the native cultures who have kept the knowing alive through mostly verbal transference. In doing so, it has allowed many to catch up with their inner revelation of the connection of all things to one another, the symbiotic relationship of all life, the lost frontier of oneness. Over the last 25-plus years, many have turned to the ways of old to find solid ground, substance, meaning, connection, and freedom from fear. The men's movement embraced the ways of the Native American for a long time, calling upon the deep earth relationship and the interconnectedness of all life to drum their way into greater clarity, finally being able to crack the Piscean patriarchal shell of hierarchy, control, and survival of the fittest. The women who have turned to the ancient goddess have done much to soften the collective pain and open hearts to the love that is underneath all. And the blossoming embrace of the beauty, the power, the nurturance of the Earth Mother Gaia grows even as we speak, for it is the truth of all times. We are undoubtedly connected and so much more than we have ever allowed. The indigenous have shown us how to honor, embrace, listen to, and learn from the ancestors. The tendency to put our foremothers and forefathers into homes of isolation is a superb injustice to the continuity of life, no matter the reason or the lure of convenience. When we isolate from our past wisdom, we are cast adrift to start over and over like Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill. The ancestors go back generations, civilizations, into the galactic, and as we learned before, all that wisdom is ready available via mining the Akash, which follows the conscious opening of the 12 strands of DNA. Do you see how each skill, each opportunity is beginning to tie together to give us the great picture, to give us the big picture that shows us how to integrate fully into this life that we have chosen? I said they know and champion the relationship with Gaia, rising above the mockery of the unaware masses who hold their own mind as evidence of their superiority. The stupidity of the civilized world is fast revealing itself in these swift and sweeping times. And I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm chastising myself, because I have been a willing participant in both the civilized and the uncivilized world through a whole host of incarnations. And I succumbed very mightily to the ideas of the civilized world and the lure of supposed superiority. We're still dealing with that. And I say, of course, there are blessings of the evolution of humanity as well. It is not a one-sided affair, but rather an eventual harmonizing and assimilation of ways, the best of both worlds. The indigenous provide foundation that is thousands of years old, solid and reliable for those who choose to consciously access and apply it through living in connectedness, faith, and trust. To live in relationship with is to be honoring of the complete existence of the other, without judgment and criticism, but rather with understanding and embrace. The indigenous are aligned with the kingdoms of animals, being respectful and gracious in their use. They flow with the inner knowings of the energy cycles of the seasons and days and months. They see life in all of the activities of nature and find ways to align rather than resist and control. They seek guidance from the natural world. They take what they need and remain unattached to the hoarding of stuff to fill the emptiness inside of the civilized world. The indigenous are showing integration of the three energies, of the male, the female, and Gaia. The melding of the three seeds the moments of living and reveals the cooperation that is the framework of all life. Knowing, respect, and honor and interaction are not fear-based elements that isolate and lash out in fear-filled rage. Knowing, respect, and honor and interaction are not fear-based elements that isolate and lash out in fear-filled rage. I need to rework that line. Love is the foundation upon which this life stands. From a song called Every Day is Earth Day. We're all here together, humans on this beautiful earth, killing ourselves when we take life for granted, responsible. We can be responsible. We can be responsible. Make it a part of our lives. Every day is Earth Day. That's the beauty of doing an original song. I don't remember the melody, but that's the first time you heard it. So I used poetic license. We have a profound and life-sustaining relationship. The wisdom of the indigenous provides us with a framework upon which we can sustain that relationship. Now, of course, you know, there are energies of varying frequencies in all peoples. I am making some blanket statements here about the nature of one versus the nature of other, just to make a point. I would imagine there are indigenous who are caught up in some of the diversions, just like those who are part of, quote-unquote, the civilized world, and vice versa. So please know that. All right, I'm going to go to the Kundalini of the living earth. Once again, as we worked with the DNA, we realized that there were certain elements of the DNA, certain of the strands that were devoted to the idea and the movement of the Kundalini, which was the reawakening and the balancing of the male and female of us to create the wholeness. As we've already established that the living planet, Gaia, has the same types of energetic fields and systems through what we call the ley lines and through the power points, the power spots, the vortices, the intersection points of the lines, all of those things that created a very similar to vibration than which occurs in us as we access our meridians, the energy lines within us, to work acupuncture or acupressure. So standing and being present at these lines of intersection reveals either a place of power or a place where an energy has diminished. This particular section and this element here has a lot to it. It incorporates what may sound like a mixture of things, but it is all related ultimately. The living planet Gaia and humans mirror one another energetically. Tending our own energy field is tending the field of Gaia as well, since everything we do registers in the crystalline grid and is felt and adjusted to by Gaia. The chakras and meridians of Earth are felt and can be consciously supported and impacted by humans. As you grow in your vibration, and you may already be in this place, you are sensitive to the vibrations of the earth. And you find that moving from one space to another, you will pick up different energies. could become overwhelming, but you can regulate it because you have the capacity to do so. But paying attention to how you feel as you enter a space is a very conscious thing to do, because that is the portal to you having a deeper, richer experience. Having said what I just said, Gaia is also in process to clear her own field. And though it is cooperation with humans, it also is taking care of itself, though it is in cooperation with humans. The whole notion that humans are killing the Earth has always been a laugher to me. The arrogance of supposed power of humans was asinine in the old perspective. And I swear, when, you know, said, well, we're killing the Earth, we're killing the Earth, it just seemed to me that like a dog getting out of the water, when they shake, all that water falls off. So too, humans would fall off. But then as I started to go deeper into what this was about, I began to see that there was something else going on, which I've alluded to already. In these times, especially after this research, I am finding a slant that makes sense. As Earth is, by design, here to serve the awakening of humanity in an oscillating symbiotic dance, it is becoming clear that whatever humans decide collectively will be supported by Gaia as well. So, in effect, it seems that Gaia is willing to go down with the ship, if that serves the greater cosmic good. Which, from what I understand, it does. And what this really does is put everything in our hands. And it underscores the importance of being consciously connected to self, to the cosmos, to the Earth. Gaia is a reflection of the inner world of the collective human. Since humans are so fear-driven and honestly addicted to perpetuating doom and gloom, the Earth shakes and shimmies, just like one in fear does. The unprocessed rage of so many humans shows up in the floodings, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the wildfires, as the Earth attempts to move the human through water and pushing and release. The human distance relationship with emotions leaves the land parched or exploding in gully washers. Just as a human who withholds pain does not cry until there is so much energetic buildup, they explode in a past-filled release. To really see the current state of humanity, one needs to look no further than the current condition of the Earth, in your area especially. The drought here in California is reflecting a growing split between people, resulting in loss of connection, a growing dichotomy between the haves and have-nots, an arrogant flaunting of I'm better than you to one another, a focus on profit at any cost, the attainment of more land and stuff at the expense of whatever, leaving us dry and empty and out of touch with the flow of emotion. Will people begin to wake up and take responsibility and, more importantly, make the personal inner changes that lead to results? We shall see. See, the power of this course, of what we're doing, is that we are learning to take personal responsibility for how life shows up. When that was first introduced to me in the New Age path, it seemed like an incredible burden because I didn't want to take responsibility for all the crap that I had done. That was the last thing I felt capable of doing. It felt to me too overwhelming because, honestly, I hadn't processed the reservoir of pain that we've talked about, the debris that energetically was contained by the chakras and by my unwillingness or my lack of capacity to let it go. And so it kept delivering and calling me to get attention and release, and I ignored it over and over and over again. So being told that my design says that I'm supposed to take responsibility was not something I was willing to hear in those days. It's different now. Finding my place. To really see the current state, okay, we shall see. This is completely unnecessary and unavoidable if humans will start waking up to self-care and consciously doing the same for the Earth. One thing leads to the next. Healing is a succession of conscious, open-hearted choices by a sea of individuals. Gaia has 12 chakras. The seven main ones are debated regarding their actual location. One source says the root is in Mount Shasta, California. The sacral chakra is in Lake Titicaca in Peru. The solar plexus is in Uluru, the red rock in Australia. The heart chakra is in Glastonbury, England, though people in Hawaii would say otherwise. The throat chakra is at the Great Pyramid at Giza, Egypt. The third eye is said to be in Kul Malek in Iran. And the crown chakra is in Mount Kailai in the Tibet Himalayan mountains. Power spots, sacred places. People are naturally drawn to places where they feel good. There are energetic remembrances and energetic places where vibration is raised on purpose. There are places that have been sustained and held by the earth herself that are free from the influence of humans. They are kept sacred and they are kept powerful, and you are led to them when you need them. The earth lines are like meridians, crisscrossing the earth's surface, intersecting at regular intervals. The intersection points are either power spots, vortices, or nulls where energy is low. Spending time in nature, especially at these points, is essential to maintaining one's energetic well-being. You can also create your own power spots in your area, a thing we'll look at next week. According to Kryon, the channel Kryon, there has been a shift between the northern and southern hemispheres regarding the upcoming awakening of the Kundalini life force in Gaia herself. The shift has occurred as a result of the raising of the collective vibration due to the influx of high-frequency cosmic energy and many humans like you and me allowing a personal vibration shift to occur. The Kundalini represents the balance of male and female coming together with great energy to create perfection and balance. The Kundalini is a moving energy, and as the planet shifts due to collective openings, it must shift as well. The land-based masculine northern hemisphere has held the energy in Tibet and India for most of the Piscean times. The new influx of feminine vibration and intention frequency has caused the shift to now be centered in southern Peru. The Kundalini is considered by some to be where the heart chakra of the earth is. The opening unwinds the male and female to create balance. The movement began in 1994 and will process 36 years until completion around 2040, bringing along with it a host of vibrational shifts that will impact the inner and outer lives of Gaia and humans and all life. Through much of the rest of the life forms flow, though much of the rest of the life forms flow and adapt more fluidly with change than the humans do, less resistance. So we understand that our angst about the changes, our struggle to hold to the status quo, our resistance to letting out the wounds that we have suffered and endured is unique to us. The animal kingdom, the earth kingdoms, and natural kingdoms don't have this relationship. There is no investment in that. And therefore, they adapt and shift. It's very much the reason why a pet, like a dog who has been abused, will come right back and lick the face of the abuser. Because there's an incredible power of forgiveness and loyalty that comes through these animals. They come as teachers. They come as devotees to support the vibration and the awakening of humans. And our own ignorance causes us to misuse these magnificent resources. The shifts will begin at the tip of South America and move north. I think I missed something there. 2040, then humans. Okay. The forms may be in earth changes, but that is dependent upon the collective vibrations of humans. You see, we get scared by the predictions, and that's why they're given. It's that process of stirring the pot, of keeping us frightened of our own power, of keeping us ignorant and being willing to surrender to the perceived authority. Now, I'm not saying we're in complete rebellion here, but I'm saying we're in complete rebellion. We are in the process of reclaiming our power. Now, that doesn't mean we destroy the elements that are already in place. We learn to live with them and beyond them in a higher frequency, It is all possible and plausible, and it's all a choice in any certain given moment. The cleaner and clearer we get, the more we are capable of being fully present in a moment to decide how we're going to be. And that in itself, as we've established here, is the very frequency we seed the planet, we seed the crystalline grid with, and the Earth takes it and says, let's raise the frequency a bit. The shift will impact mightily the consciousness of all inhabitants. The consciousness. Expect profound openings and personal shifts that show up as a collective raising of vibration and a visible shift in external forms. It's already happening in our own personal lives. How many of us have experienced significant personal change? How many of us experienced a lot of movement of energies that used to define who we were? How many of us are able to stand in the face of a moment now and go, eh, whatever? Every one of us can. And I've gotten reports from individuals that that indeed is the case. And that is impacting the collective frequency of Gaia, raising that energy. And when you raise energy, you get heat. So the heat of the planet, the vibration of the planet raising, is enough to be measurable. Does that mean it's going to last and continue to the point that we boil our brains? Absolutely not. These are subtle and slow processes that have been compacted in a time when everything is moving fast. Because time and space are compacted because of the necessity and the collective decision that this needs to happen in the now as quickly as possible. We are in profound times. You knew that when you incarnated. You knew it when you signed on the dotted line and said, I want to be there. I want to be there so much. Oh, please, 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 can I go? And here you are. This movement is nonlinear and will affect all in multidimensional ways on many levels, precipitating a new inflow of ideas and higher frequency thought forms that can be assimilated or not due to free will. The outcome is not set because of this. It depends on personal choices by each of us, as these impact the collective in increasing and exponential ways. There will be an increase of compassionate action in all forms of life as the balance moves in. Deeper connections and expressions of genuine love will be rampant. Peace-filled living in complete awareness and power are potential results. The crystalline grid will recalibrate to focus more on holding higher frequency evidence of compassionate action, and this in turn will impact any pockets of resistance to seep along the shift, for the Earth will be reflecting a higher love frequency to all. I'm painting pictures right now. I'm planting seeds of intention and expectation, because this can be the result of the efforts of this moment with you and I. Our choices. Loss, okay. The changes will occur energetically in the physical in places mostly uninhabited by humans. For this is a cooperative opening that serves the whole. Do you hear me? This says earthquakes in the middle of Nevada, in the middle of places that are inhabited by few. It's the release and the shivering and the shaking of an energy that was put into place. It needs to be cleansed. It doesn't need to result in the loss of life. So much of this, and this may sound like science fiction, is dependent upon the choices that we make in these moments. And once again, based on the notion of the 100th monkey, it doesn't take that many to hold a collective vision and intention and act as if to begin to actually change the whole. This has been proven. We did it in 1989 when the World Peace Meditations began in 87. And for 2 years, we collectively around the world focused on peace at 5 a.m. in the morning on the west coast of California on the day before New Year's. Within 2 years, that collective frequency showed up in the complete shift of apartheid in South Africa and the collapse and the dismantling of the Berlin Wall, two seemingly impossible elements that occurred pretty much simultaneously. The The opening will move us all towards a unified state of cooperation and peace. The feminine energy will swell to cleanse out the male-dominated resistance to an open, flowing heart space. In fact, the whole nature of duality will shift, diminishing in necessity and form, creating an individual and collective unity of self. And what this means, I don't know. But it's on the way. The movement of the energy through the Kundalini will amplify the opening of the aligned human chakras, easing all into living in a connected, loving, confident, competent, intuitive, flowing manner, because the chakras themselves will be open and functioning in that capacity. When that is happening, we are in our design of connectivity and integration and cooperation with one another. All you have to do is to keep being you. And pay attention, apply the new information, and make necessary adjustments, then celebrate. Is that too much to ask? I don't know. And now the return of the goddess. It has already been established that with the advent of the age of Aquarius, we enter the time of the feminine. What is essential here is that it is not a time at the expense to be taken at the expense of the masculine. That the Piscean time was dominated by the hierarchical controlling energies of the masculine, there was also an evolution taking place. As the women quietly gathered their inner resources for the upcoming and inevitable shift that would demand the best of them to surface and play unfettered in the fields of now, the men opened as well. Surely there was a mighty suit of armor to pierce, as the mold has been in place, cemented also almost for millennia. Sorry, I'm stumbling here. But the shifts happened, especially in the 80s and 90s, as the men's movement took shape. Men found their spirit lurking in the shadows, rediscovering their wildness, tameable through a newly found capacity to love self and others. And as the drums beat, men found a voice that was ancient. Many took the energy and diverted resources from the patriarchal methodologies that had brainwashed and diminished and hurt for so very long. The dawning of the age of Aquarius was real and felt in the deepest places of men first. The trumpet call heralded an inner surrender and the rediscovery of the softer emotional side of the I am expressing as he. Many listened, many heard, many felt, and the walls started to fall. Enough so that a collective permission was sent forth from the very viscera of Gaia to move forward with it and let the feminine wake up to again flourish. But this time with a clarity and a deep expressive and comforting love, not in the previous ways that were vengeful and controlling and manipulative. The feminine is reborn in the domain of the open heart and the foundation of the capacity to embrace, nurture, and express a more sweeping kind of power. It is taking care of the earth and her inhabitants that is beginning to be the call of the current times, but doing so with the clarity of understanding the divine, for divine is truly what the feminine is. Let me underscore there where I said this element of the feminine that was vengeful and controlling and manipulative. We're talking here more in historical terms, that when prior to the Piscean age, when the feminine dominated, there was a really screwed up way that things were being used, and it was more of a masculine use of the feminine, where essentially with tribes and nations like the Amazons and some of the warrior women, they basically used men as studs, and they used them for their own purposes to perpetuate their species, and it was not done with love at all. It was part of the evolution. It was part of the clearing of an old vibration. It took place, and when the Piscean era was entered into, the men carried that energy with them and therefore subjugated women to be less than. It doesn't justify it. It gives an understanding to what occurred. We all carry the seeds of these choices that were made. We carry these in the moments when we are confronted with our own sexuality, with how we relate to one another as men, as women. It's just the way it is. The beauty is that we're given clarity to go ahead and make different choices. But let me underscore again, doing so with clarity of understanding the divine, for divine is truly what the feminine is. Now hear this. The source is infused, fabricated, oscillating with love. The very source, whatever you want to call it. This is a feminine principle. It is the basis of all forms of expression throughout the cosmos. So the source herself is feminine. Gone is a paradigm of the big guy in the sky, filled with wrath and vengeance and comfortable with controlling the living with the threat of annihilation. This is huge. Whether it's going to be embraced or not remains to be seen. But let it infuse your being and let you realize that the source of things is coming from that receptive place, that vibration of love that embraces. It doesn't even necessarily take action and push away like the male vibration is aligned to do. So I say in some lyrics from a song, there's never been a better time. It says, enter this time, a holy invitation to celebrate life. A billion years we have been in preparation, but now the time is here for us. Free up every part of us. And step into the whole of what we are. W-H-O-L-E. I did a typo here, but it sounds perfect. Enter the time of holy invitation to celebrate life. A billion years we have been. The song says preparation, but what I said here was separation, and I think that's appropriate. So enter the goddess energy, the carrier of the torch of now and the times to come. These frequencies will infuse all of life to ignite the compassionate, the grateful, the graceful, the tender, and the potent. It is not a time where one energy is replaced by another who is still trembling with the injustice of the previous rulers. It is a vibration that is rapidly gaining higher frequency because it is compassionate with itself, flooding out to embrace and heal the wounds like an unconditional loving mother would. It is the birth of the golden time of reunification, heart-based connection, eye to eye, face to face, heart to heart. It is in this time. Sorry, it's just so exciting. In this time, we honor the mother. It is no accident that the arrival of the Gaia hypothesis came when it did, to point us in the direction of healing, to open to the part of us that has, for so many, been disowned or at the very least misunderstood. By honoring Gaia, men learn to value life, which opens up the inner portal to their own waiting feminine self, hungry and ready for love. When you value life, you don't overpopulate the earth. You don't kill. You don't abuse resources or abuse one another. You find the heart of things and allow the free flow of emotion, risking dissolving to surrender into the tenderness of your design. When all embrace and allow the goddess energy to flow and express, then the world changes. Human beings who connect, support, love, assist, dream, celebrate, play are on the horizon, no matter what it looks like right now. In a state of balance, we integrate all of life and flow with the knowing that there is no threat to our well-being. Hear what I'm saying. It sure seems like science fiction right now, but I tell you, with every fiber of my being, this is where it's pointing. And this is what is on the horizon, and it's based upon choices that you and I make in these moments to come. And it's based upon you allowing the information to do its mighty work in your inside. I have a song that my ex Aaron sang. It was called Women of Power. I'm going to give you a little taste of it. It's perfect. Like the wind flowing down from the mountain, like the moon so still, like the wolf who embraces survival, like a dream fulfilled, she stands out in the water with the power all around. Bringing peace to the children of the forest, bringing hope to the eyes, bringing love to the ones in the distance, bringing time after time, she stands out in the water with the power all around. In the circle of the blessing of the angels, in the grace and the light, in the one at the point of forever, The woman, she cries, I am a woman of power, I am a woman divine, I am a woman of substance, I balance heart and mind. Through the rain and the transformation, through the trial of will, through the doubts and the dark soul nights, and through the dreams unfilled, she stands out in the water with the power all around. In the circle, in the blessing of the angels, in the grace and the light, in the one at the point of forever, the woman, she cries, I am a woman of power, I am a woman divine, I am a woman of substance, I balance heart and mind. And so it is, here we stand. And now two short little sections here, the lure of living simply. Somewhere along the journey, we decided to accumulate stuff. The hoarding began. The incessant barrage of buy, buy, buy began. Rooms filled up as the inner hole was trying to be filled. The emptiness was temporarily whitewashed with the game of who had the most stuff. Money buys happiness, it is said. And yet so many with all the money they would ever need are far from happy. The wealthy too often are poster children for excess. Some of the wealthy are. And the reason? The inner longings and the wounds cannot be stuffed into the land of no feeling remembrance. One must pay attention and walk into the valley of death to clear the energetic debris that is gathered like dust balls in the deepest and most hidden corners of our viscera, both physical and energetic. And in no way am I here chastising money or creating relationship with money. It's just evidence that shows the attempt to fill up the hole through substance doesn't work. That's all. We are all in an abundant and a prosperous world, and we all deserve, especially the people that are caught in this New Age dogma of saying it's not spiritual to be wealthy. Shut up. It is spiritual to be completely in alignment with the abundance and the prosperity that exists in the very hands of the planet Earth. The age of accumulation has compromised the earth on many levels, stripping her of the vast stores of accessible resources. And I chose that word purposely, accessible resources. We'll even say easily accessible resources. Contaminating her waters through must-have-now strategies to exceed at any cost, on and on and on it goes. But the greatest cost has been on humans with the stress of keeping the facade afloat. Hearts are being broken by the incessant abuse that the unawareness causes to the individual and the collective. And remember, the earth lovingly reflects us to ourselves. When we see damage, it is us who really is wounded and lying on the ground. Waking up reveals this. The task of these times is to help as many humans as possible wake up. And how do we do this? By tending your own energy garden, taking your newfound knowledge and understanding of the big picture to live differently. Your actions are the greatest influence on others, the perfect teacher to inspire self-activated change in another. As Gandhi says, become the change you wish to see. Simple, but not necessarily easy. How do you choose to live? What do you really need to be comfortable in your moments? What is required to fulfill your basic needs? How invested are you in the Piscean ways of comparison and holding the most toys? You know by now the shallowness of such activities and choices under the growing light that infuses all of our moments of living. So live simply so that others may simply live is a sign on the wall. Your too much is easily becoming someone else's too little. Simple living is sustainable living, being comfortable and happy, but not at the expense of others. The wounds of the heart and lower chakras have many seeking payback on others. It seems to justify the means, but you know differently. You know the ways to release the old energetic debris that fuels the actions of separation. Choose to keep getting clear. Your vibration will be the magnet that involves the interest of others to inspire them to similar action. We shall look at ways to put this in motion next week. And finally, it says this is much bigger than you realize. And I say, we are not talking about just changing actions to create a better now moment, though that is foundational. What is really going on here is the interconnectedness of action upon the whole of life. Your choices are recorded by Gaia. She uses them to regulate the vibration of the crystalline grid, which in turn impacts all living beings on the planet. This activity regulates how Gaia shows up and determines the forms of the moments for all of humanity. The energies are sent out from the grid into the immediate local field, impacting relationships with the moon, the companion planets, the sun, and beyond, even out into the galactic center, the hub with which we traverse the elliptical journey of 26,000 years. Are you grasping the scope of this? We are all traveling companions, the entire multiverse and beyond. Nothing thought, chosen, or acted upon does not impact the One. We are that powerful and that interconnected. It is a remarkable and mind-blowing design and scenario. We are unified and dependent upon one another. The implications are sweeping. The judgment of another, the criticism of self, the choice to rage out, the absorption of fear, the unwillingness to connect, the killing of the animal, the words spoken from deep wounding, all move out and influence the oneness. It is big, and it is well within our capacity to handle. For it is only in monitoring our personal inner and outer footprint in this now moment that we are ultimately responsible for. Helping one another through compassion and an open heart, showing up to commitments, hesitating to act when in an agitated state, on and on the actions reveal themselves. Subtle, in the now, changes of behavior and direction. We are made of love, designed from love, vibrating from love, and still so many turn away and act from a lower frequency. These are the times of changing that. The information is the key to reactivating awareness. You are here to be aware, to notice, and to act in a higher frequency from your potent and perfect place of wholeness. So do it, just do it, and then watch the magnificence of life open up at last, at last. Sounds like this is just one huge pep talk tonight, just before the ball game. Finally, I'll conclude with a message from Kryon from the book The Gaia Effect. He says, humanity has responsibility not to impact the life force of the planet in ways that are not in integrity. If whales are eventually going to disappear, they won't, by the way, it should be because there is a natural response from Gaia and the oceans and not because humans want their blubber. If forests are to be cut down for cities and homes, then new trees should be planted, as they are in many places. So there are responsibility issues for resources, and they are to be taken with integrity. So conservation isn't environmental control. It's conserving natural existing resources and keeping them clean. The indigenous never took any more than they needed, and they honored Gaia in the process. This is a lesson for all. Do not hunt for sport. This does not honor Gaia. Fish for what you and others will eat and no more. Fish with responsibility for other life. If you don't, again, you will pay the price and you will eventually learn this. Humans have the responsibility not to contaminate the air they breathe due to greed. Shouldn't that be clear to everyone? To do so is to kill yourselves. Humans should be careful not to pollute their oceans or throw away their waste in ways that trap any animals. This is not part of normal evolution. Instead, it's part of a poor consciousness on the part of the human being. As you treat Gaia, it will treat you. Is this really that hard to figure out? The thing you need to know is that Gaia is in support of human life and will adjust everything around it accordingly. Did you know the weather cycle you are going through right now will eventually replenish the ocean with fish? Stop polluting the water and it will happen faster. But you did not kill the reefs of the planet, as you have been told. They die and rejuvenate on a regular basis. It's mostly accomplished over a long time by water temperature variation using the water cycle. But the reefs all come back, and so do the fish. Help this along by not interfering and not polluting. This is what we ask of you. Honor species and let them go, even some of the ones you cherish as part of your past. They may have served their purpose in helping hold the land for you. The plants and animals are part of the support system of the planet of free choice and have always played their part in support of you, human being. They come and go in a system to help you to help Earth become an ascended world in our galaxy. This is the focus and always has been. Two more little paragraphs. Do you see the profundity of this system? Look at what it is about. It's about you, all of it. Why would the Earth be designed so intelligently to keep track of you, to honor you, to know who you are and the spiritual name you have? Why would that be unless you were important, unless you were part of the master plan, unless you had something to do with the universe's future? Think about it. That's the system. I won't be the only one to channel this information to you. There are others who've never heard these words who will tell you the same thing. If you get a chance, you might even ask Gaia, and she'll tell you the same thing. Gaia exists for the sacred human beings who are on this planet in lesson. I give you this in love today. I want you to think about something. Everywhere you walk, you're known by the Earth. What a system. Why do I give this to you today? It's so that you continue to feel loved and cared for. It's so that you know there's a hand-holding going on between Spirit and you and Gaia, if you want it. There are so many things here for you if you want them. Old soul, you sit here for a purpose. Maybe you needed to hear this today. Important you are, precious you are, and a master you are. Now go claim it. Live a long time. Be joyful in the process. Don't make up your mind what's supposed to happen. The worst thing you can do is to predispose what God has for you based upon what you think is happening now. Instead, relax. Be joyful in all things and fall in love with yourself. Leave this place differently than when you came. I am crying, he says, lover of humanity, for a very good reason. And so it is. And so it is. Whew. Look at where we've come from. We saw the transition between Piscean and Aquarian times. We looked at the elements of that, and we looked at who we had the potential to become. We began to see how the flow and the cycles of life fed us and created a fabric and a framework that we could all be present to and trust. And from that place, we embarked upon our capacity to self-create, to begin to make changes and grow in our knowing and confidence in the powers that were beginning to be revealed to us and reclaimed by us because of our openness. At that point, we were then capable of clearing energetic past and making sure that the debris of choices made of the ignorance of the past does not infiltrate the choices made in this now moment that free you to a future of your choice. Once that was clear, we embarked into multidimensional living and began to see just how expansive we are. And at that point, we could then create relationship with the inner child to free ourselves up and to let go of some of the paradigms that we had bought so freely into. With the child with open eyes, we were able to start looking at emotion and to see how the relationship between the child and emotion was so intertwined and woven to be such a beautiful, beautiful experience. And at that point, we applied and learned and applied cosmic law. We looked at what it means to ascend, to be in the higher frequency. We used the breath and the voice and the word to... No, I think I replaced that one. I need to fix this page. At that point, we did that one. Yes, we did. We looked at the breath and the voice and the word and saw that the very things that come out of us that are created by us are the very things that program, if you will, the next moment for us. At that point, we could tend and access and look at our soul and then begin to integrate all of the rays that were being sent to us that were resources. And that left us at the doorway of taking responsibility for opening our full DNA spectrum. And from that, we began to gain access to the Akash, which then fed us through the past, the present, and the future to give us the capacity to formulate the way our now moment shows up and how our experience of life is. And tonight, we go ahead and realize that we have never been alone, that we have always had connection with this magnificent, magnificent being, Gaia, who is intertwined with us inexplicably and forever. And if anything, to become aware of that, to realize that one of our priorities on the other side of self-care is to care for this magnificent planet. And in every opportunity to notice and to celebrate and experience what she has to offer in a myriad of forms, we choose it and we acknowledge it and we feed it with our awareness and we celebrate and appreciate it with gratitude and we recognize the grace of the sunset, the grace of the moment just given, the sound of the storm as it feeds our own inner being and clears energies out of us because of the vibration itself. This is conscious living. This is a capacity to be in alignment with that which we have been given. It is no longer necessary for us to incarnate and be ignorant and unknowing. We are fast becoming the knowing, reaching a knowing capacity so that when we do incarnate, we come in with choice and we self-select into that which we already have been. We pick up where we left off. What a glorious time it is. I don't care what it looks like. What a glorious time it is. And if we act as if and maintain a full connection with the ideas being presented here, we will find a smooth, smooth movement into, you're out of the woods, you're out of the dark, you've been to the light. Step into the light and let it open. Ah. Open, into the land of Oz, or wherever that is. I am deeply grateful for your willingness to be a part of tonight. Next week, we begin to play with this information in a variety of ways. I hope you choose to show up. If not, it will be recorded. When you access the information, you will notice that the exercises are blank and will be so until next week. There will be some additional elements on the site that are based upon these activities themselves, so you can be looking for those on the page I'm referring to. So I am blessed by your choice to be a part of this. For those of you that continue and for those who tonight joined us for the first time, whew, way to go. You jumped in with both feet. And here we are. I invite you to take good care of yourself and be totally conscious of your footsteps as you step onto this magnificent planet, feeling her power, giving back, and creating that and maintaining the symbiotic relationship that has served us both for so long. Thank you. We are out of time. I will stay on in case anybody has a comment or question or needs to clarify something. Otherwise, you are free to go live. All right. So, the recording is ending. Thank you so much for being a part of it.